We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
From KMOX Sports.
Okay, boys, here we go.
Welcome to the Graybar Sports Open Line.
Those mid swings, and he hits a drive. He hits a slammer.
Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs.
Here we go.
Now, Matt Pauly on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
All right, man, let's get going here.
Here we go. Let's go.
Welcome in to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Joe Pott in for Matt Pauly here tonight. Glad to be with you. Glad you are with us wherever you are. It is chipper. It's cold. It's just plain cold. I was out earlier today. It is supposed to be spring break for my one kiddo that's still in the house. And we were out with nieces and nephews and cousins today. We did a little city museum and we were doing the whole St. Louis thing. Went and had lunch at Four Hands. But it was very cold, especially considering we've had such nice warm weather here over the last few days and weeks. Even yesterday, went to the Dogtown Parade yesterday, and it wasn't that bad, especially in the sun. It got actually really nice yesterday. We have got plenty going on here. Glad, as I said, to have everyone along with us. Pat Ruffino is going to join us tonight. He is, if you are unaware, he's one of the Battlehawks experts, and he's a real football connoisseur. He has a podcast that covers all levels of football. They discuss all kinds of football. So we'll talk to him, and we'll talk to him about the UFL and about the Battlehawks and really about his podcast and kind of what he does. We're going to talk some Blues hockey also in this first 6 o'clock hour with Luke Korak of NHL.com. I think this is a really important stretch of the Blues schedule, and I'll get Lou's thoughts on that as well. We'll talk about that. Stu Durando in the 7 o'clock hour from STL Today, St. Louis Post-Dispatch. We'll talk to him about the Billikens and where their coaching search kind of stands and what they're looking at, maybe what he's heard. If he's heard anything about what direction they may go in. And Joe Roderick's going to finish up the program with us tonight at the end of the 7 o'clock hour, and we can talk with Joe about all kinds of sports things. He's always good to talk about a lot that's going on. Of course, he does covers a lot for KlabsOnline.com. Let's start off. Let's talk a little bit about the Cardinals and about the Oliver Marmol extension news, because it came down on Friday, and yes, you've heard it in some other shows. We did not have a Sports Open Line on Friday because the Cardinals were playing Friday night, and we had that game here on KMOX. We didn't get a chance to really address much of it here on this program, so I want to do that a little bit, and I want to start off with a little bit of what Mo had to say about the contract extension and the decision that was made to extend Oliver Marmol.
Yeah, I really feel like how the offseason evolved. The most important thing for Ollie, the coaches, our players, is to know that we stand behind them. We believe in them. And to go into the season, what's the phrase, like a lame dunk manager, just seemed to be like the wrong strategy, given the fact that the roster we've assembled, we believe is going to be competitive, has a chance to be exciting. And we just didn't want something, if we have a stumble or get off to a slow start, all of a sudden, everybody's looking over their shoulders. And it's just not fair to everybody involved. So the timing of this, as we started to think more and more about it, had to be dealt with now and not something mid-season or at the end of the year.
So that is, again, from the press conference that they had last week in Florida. A little bit more from Mo on his talks with Ollie during the offseason.
I think Ollie would tell you. I mean, we had a lot of candid conversations of you know, what if? And more importantly, what could we learn from last year? I can say this, losing is very humbling. It definitely changes how you think about something. And, you know, I think in October, November, there were times where he and I would just talk about, you know, how we could do things differently. And I think you have to remind yourself that we're all growing, learning, we're all impressionable. And I think in Ollie's case, he was someone that, you know, did real self-reflection.
So there you go. Candid conversations that they had during the offseason. One of the things that I always go back to, I hear Klaibs say this a lot when you're talking about a number of things, but this situation is, if not Oliver Marmol, then who do you want? Like, that's the question, right? So who do you want here if you – and I completely understand the frustration. I completely understand some of the alarm, you know, that it feels perhaps like – they are rewarding Oliver Marmol for a subpar season last year, and I think that clearly is not the case. A little bit more from Mo.
I mean, there's never any doubt in my mind that he was going to continue being the Cardinals manager, but you come off the year like we experienced. I mean, I think a lot of people would have been happy if we were both gone. You know. And
all three of them.
Well, owners can't get fired. We've already gone over that. And so, you know, it's that awkwardness of like, just – we believe in each other. As Ollie pointed out, I mean, we really like our coaching staff. Our front office is strong, and we want to get back to winning.
Obviously, this quote, I think, at the end of here is the one that kind of sews it up for me.
As I would sit in meetings and talk about through some things, especially how we have to think about our roster building, decision making, the one thing I didn't want to have happen is, you know, someone like Ollie having to think about it for win now, win right now at the expense of maybe a bigger, better decision down the road for the pressure of just winning. And if we knew he was going to be the manager anyway, let's just deal with it now. And that's where we got to.
I can get on board with both of those things. I certainly don't want a manager making pressure decisions thinking that if I don't win this game, that I'm going to be gone before the All-Star break. And so therefore I have to do this, this, or this, which then ultimately could jeopardize what the club can do in July, August, September, whatever the case may be, whatever that is, whether it's I'm pushing a starter too long, I'm putting somebody in that maybe shouldn't be in at that point in time, just decisions that would be made out of haste, out of worry. So I think that that is a valid point. But the other thing is, and it really negates everything that anybody can argue, that anybody can say, is that they knew that they were going to bring Oliver Marmol back. So it doesn't matter what I think. It doesn't matter what you think. It doesn't matter what the fans think, because they had that decision made. And then it's just a matter of, so why are we going to wait till the end of the year to do it? We're going to do it right now. We're going to make it official. We're going to lock him up. That's going to take that's going to alleviate some of that pressure. And I think if you heard, by any chance, if you heard Tom Ackerman on the Dave Glover show this afternoon, He put it really well as well. This extension runs through 26. It doesn't mean Oliver Marmol is going to be the manager through 26. In Tom's opinion, Tom's word, they're not going to be afraid to pull the trigger if it goes bad again, as it obviously did last year. So it's not a guarantee that you have Oliver Marmol here through 2026. It's just that you have the security of knowing who your manager is right now, and allowing all of that to not be a distraction. And I have more from Oliver Marmol, but I want to get on with our other guests. If we have some time, we can revisit that later in the show. But I think that kind of sums it up. And again, that last kind of quote, I think, really kind of puts the stamp on things. When we come back here on the Gray Bar Sports Open Line, we're going to switch gears. We're going to talk some football with Pat Ruffino. He's big into UFL and the Battlehawks specifically. We'll talk to him about his podcast and everything to come here in this UFL season when the Gray Bar Sports Open Line continues here on KMOX.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, You deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Dive into all things Cardinals on Cardinals Conversations, your go-to location for exclusive content from KingMOX. Catch it on the Odyssey app or your favorite podcast platform. Stay connected with your team. Cardinals Conversations, where the Redbird talk never stops.
Little Battle Hawks action for you here as we welcome you back in on the Gray Bar Sports Open Line on a Monday night. Joe Pott in for Matt Pauly tonight and tomorrow, as a matter of fact. I'll be back with you tomorrow night. But we are getting very close to the opening of the 2024 Battle Hawks season in a new league. Now, the combination of the USFL and the XFL in the United Football League, and our next guest knows a little something about that. He is Pat Ruffino, who is a part of the UFL News Hub covering the Battle Hawks particularly and plenty of other stuff. Pat, welcome into KMOX. Thanks for taking some time tonight.
Joe, thank you for having me. It's an honor to be on.
So, and you have, in my opinion anyway, a very interesting background. You were a security contractor. You started writing about geopolitics and the defense industry, and then made your way into football writing, in which you cover a lot of, I don't know what you would call it, not NFL, a lot of other football. But how did you get from defense contracting to now football writer?
So I was in the Marines for a little bit, and then when I went overseas, when particularly in about 2019, the AAF was a big thing, which is, for some people who know, that's where Coach Beck got his start in coaching with the San Diego Fleet. And I used to actually just watch the games from YouTube because our service, like, what depending on the base you were at, was really spotty. And I played football. I was coaching semi-pro, played a little bit on the Marine team and whatnot. So always loved the game. And, you know, unfortunately, work like that isn't permanent. So you have to start thinking about what the next objective is. So I kind of just started doing scouting reports for free, breaking down film for people on bigger websites and whatnot. And, you know, just kept plugging away at it and, you know, reached out to mentors of mine, some of them being like former clients, believe it or not, and from, you know, the security industry. And, you know, push came to shove. I've been just kind of chopping at the bit. A lot of good opportunities came my way. And, you know, still dabble in the security industry here and there, you know, consultations and whatnot. But, you know, really, really all in on not only doing football media, but also football coaching as well.
That's really cool. I think that's just, I mean, how so many of us get into some of the things we're into is maybe people we know or other interests that we have. So one of the other things that you do is a podcast called Analyze and Educate, and you talk all levels of football on there. I saw the McKendree head coach on one of your episodes, a recent episode on the Analyze and Educate podcast. Tell me a little bit about that and what folks can expect if they're going to check that out.
There's going to be a lot of spring football talk, but also when I really wanted to start transitioning into more media stuff and a more traditional career path, I looked into the amount of talent that the city of St. Louis and the state of Missouri had. whether that be from the collegiate ranks to the athletes who transition on and do great things in, you know, the NFL, CFL, and UFL. And I thought, well, when we think of football, we think of Texas, Georgia, California, maybe Ohio. I feel that Missouri is probably one of the least respected states, and I think it's on the come up now, specifically because of Mizzou with Brady Cook and Luther Burden and whatnot. But I think for years, people underestimated the amount of talent that came out of specifically the Kansas City area and the St. Louis area. And if you look on my show, I have former Eastern Michigan quarterback, Mike Glass is on there, Clint Sigg, a Lindenwood guy, granted he's from Colorado, and just all the good coaches here who like Coach Babcock, who, you know, Coach Joe Klatt and Brandon Schaub and Josh Johnson from his career path, Coach Berrienath, who I know I now work for at Missouri Baptist, Coach Stugart has brought a lot of guys to the NFL as well, Coach Bortle as well, and just plenty of coaches who have, you know, really made their mark on this game that probably don't get the amount of publicity that they deserve.
Pat Ruffino is with us here on the Graybar Sports Open Line, and I didn't get a chance to mention either that you were an assistant at Missouri Baptist. I think that's really cool. But let's talk a little bit more UFL about the Battlehawks. Of course, the news last week was that the UFL has awarded its championship game to the city of St. Louis, to the Dome at America's Center. And just listening to the folks, whether it was Coach Becht or the St. Louis folks, the UFL folks, this was sort of a no-brainer for this combined USFL-XFL league. They started thinking about this, where's the place that we want to have it, and it was in St. Louis.
Yeah, I believe the president of the league, Russ Brandon, he talked about it to me at the XFL showcase in July of last year, that they were talking about it and whatnot, but you can kind of tell he had a little glimmer in his eye. Mr. Brandon talked about, you know, going on runs and people, how excited they were, as we've seen with our array of mascots and people traveling all over and whatnot. I mean, it definitely is a no-brainer, because even if the Battlehawks don't make it, I feel like attendance-wise, the city of St. Louis deserves football, and that we are starved from it, from not only everything with the Rams, but also 2020, to where it was given to us. We got that taste, and then it was taken away, granted, by a pandemic and whatnot. So in 2023, I think the people showed that they want this to work, they're going to support it, and that they love football. And honestly, with the Battlehawks or not in or in, whatever you want to call it, I still could see that being a rocking place because of the people here in Missouri that will support it, in my opinion.
So all season long, am I correct to say you will be essentially the Battlehawks correspondent for the UFL News Hub?
Yes, sir, I will be for my second year in a row.
And that is, I mean, essentially for folks, I mean, you are basically the beat writer for the Battlehawks, right? So you're going to be the place that folks turn to for Battlehawks news.
I'm going to be one of many. Mike Mitchell, who's been on this program before, does a lot of work with a lot of these teams. So he's definitely someone that you should also check out as well. Like I said, he's been on the show. Him and Anthony Miller are writing for Sports Illustrated now as they expand their coverage. So we should see plenty. And, you know, St. Louis Post-Dispatch does a great job. Spectrum News, Greg Palmero, Scoops with Danny Mack, Andy Carroll does a lot of great jobs. There's a lot of people here from the more mainstream media that are covering this, because for us, this is our team. This is our city.
Yeah, I think that's fantastic. I mean, I think that is what fans come to expect, right, from the top professional teams. Why would you not expect it from the Battlehawks? I look forward to us being able to do this again. I look forward to checking out more of your podcast. It's Analyze and Educate. It's on YouTube. And, of course, we'll read you at the UFL News Hub. Pat Ruffino, thanks, man, for taking some time here on this Monday night.
I appreciate it, sir. Looking forward to talking more.
Absolutely. That is Pat Ruffino. He is going to be covering the Battlehawks second year in a row. You can find him at UFL News Hub, but also his podcast, Analyze and Educate. We're going to switch gears again. We'll talk things over with Luke Korak. We'll talk a little Blues hockey on the other side of the break. It's the Graybar Sports Open Line. I'm Joe Pott, and we're coming back on KMOX.
Hey.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Live from Cardinals Spring Training and the D.R. Hughes Homes Broadcast Center. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
Rolling puck down to Shen. He comes in again, shoots, and he scores! Shen! Another power play goal! And the Blues lead 3-1.
John Kelly on Bally Sports Midwest there with that call. Joe Pott in for Matt Pauley here on the Graybar Sports Open Line tonight and tomorrow. And it is time to talk a little Blues hockey. We've got Luke Korak on the line from NHL.com as we get ready for the Blues and Avalanche tomorrow night at Enterprise Center. I feel like, Lou, right off the bat, that this is a really important stretch and a stretch where the Blues can conceivably make a little run. They're on a run of four straight right now, but with what's coming up, it seems like there are points to be had here coming up.
Well, Colorado might have something to say about that tomorrow night.
Let's say they're Colorado, perhaps. That's kind of what I meant. Yes, Colorado on 91 points, but it certainly seems to get easier after the Colorado game tomorrow.
Yeah, you would think so, but you know what? These guys are taking the old mantra of one game at a time, and that's what they're going to preach to you. And the one game is Colorado now. I mean, and they're coming in here. You know, people look, okay, the Blues have started to build some momentum here. They've won four in a row, but you look at the team that's coming in, they're coming in on a bit of a heater themselves. Colorado's won six in a row. They've outscored their opponents 27-10 in that span. Nathan McKinnon's on one of his point streak heaters again. He's on a 15-game point streak. But if you remember the last time that Colorado came in here, he came in here on I believe it was an 18 or a 19-game point streak, and Robert Thomas was hounding him all night and ended that. It was a game that the Blues lost 2-1, but it was one of those games that you look back on and you feel like that was a game where maybe the better team didn't win. If you can get in a performance similar to that, you're going to give yourself a chance tomorrow. But I just think that right now the task at hand is, you know, the Blues are 4 points out of a wild card. They have to bag as many points as they can. You've got two on the line tomorrow, and that's all you have to focus on at this point.
The offense and the power play were such an issue, especially early in the season. Have they figured something out? I think it was three power play goals the other night against Anaheim. Are they starting to figure some of that out?
I think they really started to figure it out not long thereafter Drew Bannister took over. They went through a little bit of a lull here, and then obviously I think it was a two for before Sunday night. I think it was like a 2-for-24 streak. Don't quote me on that one, but somewhere in that ballpark. And so they cooled off a little bit again. But the three power play markers really enhanced and helped them win the game on Sunday night, because you know you come out of that game against Anaheim. It's another lesser opponent. You just came off of an emotional win against Minnesota less than 24 hours earlier. And there's always, you know, the talk of that emotional letdown. And you certainly saw that in the first period when, you know, the Blues had three power plays in the first, didn't take advantage of any of them. And Drew Bannister even mentioned after the game that, you know, with a power play, you would think that you would feed off of that and get some energy off of that. He just actually thought that they lost energy because of what they weren't able to produce on it. And you come out of the period down 1-0, but it reinvigorated itself there in the third period. They made a couple of personnel tweaks, moving Justin Falk into that quarterback spot in place of Torrey Krug, and Braden Schenn over on that left flank where Jordan Kyrou was, and it seemed to work. You bagged the 2 points last night. You had to have that win no matter how you got it, and they were able to get it. You continue to build momentum here and march on. That's all they can do. They have 14 games in front of them. You take them one at a time.
Luke Korak from NHL.com with us here on the Graybar Sports Open Line. Drew Bannister took over mid-December as the interim head coach. What do you think he's brought to this position and to this club? What I mean, I feel like the NHL, maybe probably more than any other league, quick to dismiss coaches, bring in interims, all of those kind of things. But what kind of stability, or has that been what Drew Bannister has brought since coming here?
Yeah, I think more than anything, Joe, to be honest with you, what's really helped his cause here is coming in. A lot of the young guys on this team had already played for him before. Mm-hmm. So from that perspective, I think he really brought in, a comfortable factor to a lot of the younger players because they knew what to expect. I think the biggest challenge there, and you saw that, was how is he going to adapt to the veterans? How is he going to – Braden Schenn admitted, he goes, I don't know much about him.
Right.
So, you know, you had a lot of the veterans that had to adapt there, and I think they have. And, you know, there have been some lulls, certainly, and there have been ups and downs, and, you know, you're going to have that. But he's talked about accountability, and we've seen that, the fans are always going to want more, that you hold one guy accountable and don't hold another. But you saw it right off the bat, a game against Tampa Bay where, you know, he benches Pavel Buchnevich, one of your important players for the entire third period. He also did it in a game in Detroit with Robert Thomas and Jordan Kyrou. He's healthy, scratched Kasperi Kapanen. And I just think he holds these guys to a certain standard. He's not going to be one of these. He's not one of these guys that's come in and he's going to have that kind of that forceful, impactful voice that maybe a Craig Berube had. And we all know what kind of a, you know, we all knew what kind of a personality that he had, but that's just not in Drew Bannister's DNA. But, you know, I think he's brought in, you know, some systematical changes for sure. And I think, you know, you've seen the results in the record, but to me, like I'd mentioned earlier, that to me is the thing that kind of stood out the most, is the fact that he didn't come into a situation where everybody was totally foreign to him. He had a lot of young guys here that he trusted and gave them opportunity, gave them responsibility, and look how some of them have thrived, particularly a guy like Jake Neighbors, who knows what kind of a coach was coming in here, and you see the kind of season that he's having, and allowing these young guys to mix with the veterans, and that's kind of probably been one of the biggest reasons why they're still relevant in the race right now, because if you remember last year at this point, they were pretty much playing out the season. Now these are meaningful games down the stretch.
What's the old phrase? It's not what happens, it's how you react to it, right? I think Buchnevich went out and had 3 points or something the next night after the benching, but
yeah.
It also sort of underscores the direction that we thought the Blues were going in anyway, right? That they were going to make this movement towards some of these younger players, and that plays right into that, doesn't it?
It does, and I mean, look at it now. You know, what you like out of this, and I still think their chances of making the playoffs are obviously a lot more challenging than obviously them being on the right side of it. But you know what? In the end, I think this is going to be great experience for the Jake Neighbors, for you have Zach Bolduc up here now. He hasn't played, but you got Zach Dean up here watching and observing, and I'm sure he's going to get into some action here at some point. Who knows? Maybe he might. I mean, maybe the Blues are just going to stay on a heater here, and they're going to, you know, you're not going to change the lineup up as long as they're winning. But you've got young guys here. Matthew Kessel, I mean, look at the impact he's made, and now he's earned himself a one-way contract that quickly into his career. Going through this experience is going to be good for these guys because they're seeing what these games mean at this point in the season, and moving forward, they're going to understand just how difficult it is to be on the right side, one of the 8 teams from each conference here. And even if they don't get in, it's great experience for them, and these young guys are going to benefit from that the most.
I'll go back to what I started with, too. I know the team takes it one game at a time. You and I can afford to look ahead a little bit. You've got a couple of road games coming up with Ottawa and Minnesota. Minnesota, who is right behind you in the division. And then you have Vegas, who you are directly, obviously, chasing for that last playoff spot. And then Calgary and San Jose, both of whom, at least it, you know, feels like those are winnable games at Enterprise Center. Yep. So, again, I think this – it feels to me anyway like this is a crucial stretch right here ending up the month.
Well, you saw what Nashville did to thrust themselves into the position they're in, and they're most likely going to get into the playoffs now, Joe. I mean, and look at them. They started their run, I believe it's a 14-game point streak now. If I'm not mistaken, I think they're 12-0-2 right now. And you know where they started that? They started it here.
In St. Louis.
December. Yeah, they started it here on February 17th. So, I'm not saying that the Blues are going to – I mean, for their sake, it would be great if they went on something like that. I mean, if we're talking about a 14-game point streak here, chances are they're going to elevate themselves in there. But, you know, again, you've won 4 in a row here. You take it one in a game at a time, and you're right. You've got games here that are certainly winnable. But we talked about that earlier in the year too, where there were some of these games, and you can look at it right now, you could say to yourself, they've lost some games this year against those teams below them in the standings, that if you would have bagged those points earlier in the year, you'd be on the right side of it right now. So they just have to approach every one of these the same way. They all have the same meaning. Just keep winning, keep moving forward. And if you can make it 5 in a row tomorrow, great. Then you go into that Ottawa game. If you can make it 6, great. But they need something like that. And I think you kind of got a sense in talking to Justin Falk about that, that, you know, when I asked him last night, you know, what have you found and what have you built in these 4 games? And he says, hopefully some momentum. They need the momentum right now if they're going to stay relevant in this.
Well, it starts tomorrow night with the Colorado Avalanche at Enterprise Center, 7 o'clock start. Lou, I always appreciate you taking some time out for us. It's great to visit with you and get some insight on this team, and I'm certain we'll do it again, man.
Anytime, Joe. Take care, and good to hear from you.
Thank you so much. Lou Korak with us from NHL.com. We'll wrap up the 6 o'clock hour coming up here on the Graybar Sports Open Line program. It does continue. Joe Pott in for Matt Pauly tonight. We're coming back here on Camo X.
This is America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Oh, Thomas Ostrak comes up with a steal. Yeah!
Oh, baby! Ostrak! Ostrak! We're tied at 1 in L.A.!
That, of course, is Joey Zanaboni, the voice of St. Louis City SC. You hear him on our sister station, Y98, with Dale Schilly on the broadcasts. And I want to get into a little bit of a story we have about St. Louis City and about St. Louis City fans. And they're kind of expressing some displeasure. Sean Malone has more.
U.S. Open Cup has been around for 114 years. It's a huge part of soccer in the U.S. And then St. Louis has had success over, you know, the century.
They did not want to participate fully in the U.S. Open Cup. That upset a lot of people.
You know, obviously kind of prioritizing this League's Cup that they invented.
Those are City SC's diehard fans talking about choosing to opt out of tickets for the League's Cup. The League's Cup is a new tournament the MLS is introducing, but it's coming at the cost of another cup, the U.S. Open Cup. The U.S. Open Cup has a long history of a blend of amateur, semi-pro, and pro sports clubs, and St. Louis has won the cup in past years. It's a history many soccer fans in the region are proud of, and is why they're hurt when the MLS announced only 8 of their clubs would participate, St. Louis not being one of them. That's when chatter began amongst various City SC support groups protesting the League's Cup games, according to Andy Hassey.
All the US leaders of the 7 RSGs here in St. Louis decided to go ahead with a full boycott of the League's Cup.
Many fans have taken to social media showing screenshots of them rejecting the chance to opt into their season tickets, League's Cup games. For some fans, like Mike Turner, who co-hosts the River City Ramblers St. Louis City SC podcast, it was a tough decision.
It's a long thought through decision. I support the team. I do the march to the match. We run the podcast. I know a lot of the supporters groups been involved with a couple of them for years.
For others, the decision was easy, says diehard fan Mike O'Connell.
This tournament, the MLS looks like they want it to take the place of their participation in the Open Cup, and the Open Cup just means so much.
Turner believes there will be a different feel at games without many of City SC's diehard fans.
Without the supporters groups, without a lot of the people in the supporters section, you won't have the drums. You're probably not going to have the chants. You're not going to have anybody leading the chants. It's really going to lessen that environment for those games.
O'Connell thinks so too.
There will be a noticeable change in atmosphere at the games. And that's just a huge part in what drew me into soccer.
Right now, tickets are not publicly available on sale for League's Cup games, and only season ticket holders are being offered the chance to opt into having their seats for League's Cup games. The fans we spoke to emphasize that they're not upset with City SC, rather, they're upset with the MLS. Sean Malone, KMOX News.
Appreciate that from Sean. KMOX has reached out to St. Louis City SC for comment. Hasn't yet received that, so awaiting their reply. It is interesting because the Open Cup does have a really deep history here in St. Louis. It's several wins that St. Louis clubs have had, and by Open Cup. It's literally available to MLS teams all the way down to like the Bush Soccer Club in the past and the Cutis Soccer Club in the past have been part of the U.S. Open Cup. And it is that tradition that soccer fans in St. Louis are trying to hold on to. And when the decision was made, or originally I believe it was made that the MLS was just not going to participate in the Open Cup at all, period. And then they sort of walked it back, and that's why eight teams are now part of the Open Cup. So some teams are, as you heard in that story, other teams, as St. Louis City SC, are not part of the U.S. Open Cup. Here's what I'll say, too. What's always the standard answer when they're like, oh, you don't like it? Fine, don't buy tickets. Well, that's what they're doing. I mean, this is the absolute, this is the way that you make that known, right? This is the, and exactly as one of those supporters said, it's going to change the atmosphere. It's going to actually affect what it's like inside City Park on game nights. And that is part of what originally attracted him to the MLS, to being a supporter of St. Louis City SC. And that's, of course, what has gotten high marks here in the city during the inaugural season at City Park, is the atmosphere that those fans and those supporter groups have created. And so what better way to make your point than to do it with the rejection of the tickets, with your pocketbook, right? I think that, you know, it's interesting. I think it'll be interesting to watch and see where that goes and maybe what kind of response, not just St. Louis City SC, but if the MLS has a response and, you know, if something like that happens in some other cities as well. We've got plenty more to come in our second hour here on the Graybar Sports Open Line. We'll talk with Stu Durando. We'll talk with Joe Roderick. Lots more to do. Joe Pott in for Matt Pauly, back for hour number two after this on Camo X.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.